seems. But I thank the Lord that I get to be here with all of you this evening. Tonight, we are talking about empowered by God's love, living from our identity. But let's just pray real quick. Lord, I thank you so much that we get to be here this evening and just learn of you. We pray, Father God, that you would just speak to us, that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, help us to understand and receive what you have for us this evening. We believe it, and we receive your word by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. So empowered by God, empowered by love, living from our identity. Now, something that became very interesting to me a few weeks ago that I believe I began to be aware of in a very new way is that most Christians do not really believe in or understand God's love for them. Most believers do not really believe in or understand God's love for them. And not understanding God's love for us or not believing in his love for us really weakens our lives. It really causes us to not live in the fullness of the blessing or of the abundant life that Jesus Christ sacrificed his life to give us. And so tonight we're going to really look at understanding and believing God's love so that we can be empowered by his love. Because knowing his love, understanding his love empowers us. And when I say empowers, I mean it enables us. It gives us the power to live the full, abundant life that Jesus Christ sacrificed his life to give. So when we understand God's abundant love for us, we are empowered, we are enabled, and then we can live from that love. We can live from that identity. And so our identity is no longer how the world classifies us or how our culture classifies us, but our identity becomes loved. I'm loved. I need you to say that with me. Say, I'm loved. That's who I am. I'm loved. Say, I'm loved.
I'm loved.
I am loved. We got to say it like we mean it. I'm loved.
I'm loved.
I am loved. And so in trying to understand God's love so that I could be empowered by his love, I began to just really meditate. Okay, how different would my life be if I really understood God's love? How different would it be? I began to realize that if I really understood God's love, and I lived from a place of being loved by God, then I would have no fear at all. Fear would not exist. Fear would not be a part of my life at all. I would have no worry. If I really understood God's love for me, then I wouldn't worry. I would not have depression. Depression could not exist. I would not have anxiety. Anxiety could not exist if I really understood God's love. I used to counsel people as a clinical counselor for years, anxiety and depression all boiled down to hopelessness and fear of what was going to happen or fear of things that happened already. But if I really understood God's love for me, then fear, anxiety, depression could not exist. If I really understood God's love for me, I would not be trying to defend myself. I would just be me and be the best me, of course, but be me and that's it. I wouldn't be trying to prove myself or defend myself to people. If I really understood God's love for me, I would not be worried about my future. Worried about what's going to happen when I get old, who's going to take care of me, how I'm going to have some money, my retirement. I wouldn't be worried about those things. I would not be overwhelmed, worried about if I'm going to get sick or get a disease one day. That would not be a part of my thinking if I really understood and lived from the place of I am loved. If I really understood God's love for me, senses and feelings of inferiority or insecurity would not exist. If I really understood God's love for me, this was something that God really just showed me. If you really understood my love for me, my love for you, Marzette, you would run to obey me. It would not be grievous to obey. I would be like, oh my God, whatever God is saying, I need to do exactly that because I know and that is my safety and my best life because whatever he says, I know it's going to be excellent and wonderful and just an amazing life, whatever he says. So if I really understood his love for me, I would be running to obey, running to his word to find out what does God prescribe for my life, because this is what I need for have to have the best life now. But when we don't understand God's love for us, then our interest for the Bible and the things of God become just very minimal. If I understood God's love for me, I would not have jealousy at all, envy. I wouldn't be jealous when my friend gets the things that I feel like I want. I wouldn't be feeling kind of insecure or jealous or envious when someone gets the house that I feel like I should have, or the car that I feel like I should have, or the marriage or the kids or whatever it is, those things that we feel like we want or always wanted, and somebody else get it and we kind of feel bad about it. And if I really understood God's love, that would not be a part of my reality. If I really understood God's love, I would not feel shortchanged or cheated or neglected when my life does not reflect what the culture says is success. I would just be doing what I know God says do, and I would rest in that and be content in that, and that would be the best life for me, and I would see it that way. If I really understood God's love as a woman, something that I'm realizing for myself, is that I would not begin to feel less attractive or less desirable as I grow older. Many times women, as we get older, we feel, oh my God, my hair is gray now. Gravity is taking place in every way, right? And it's like, woo, wait a minute. But if I understood God's love for me, that would be okay. I would embrace that. And just, you know, I am loved, whatever. My hair's thinning, my hair's graying, gravity's taking place, but that's okay, that's all right. I'm good with it. Weight coming on a little bit, that's okay. Hallelujah. I'm okay with that, right? When I really understand God's love for me, when I'm living from my identity of love, I am loved. And when I really understand God's love for me, I would not allow myself to feel a sense of loss over some things or some people that had to leave my life, whether it's through death or whether it's through just any kind of disruption of life. I would not feel a sense of loss. I would just say, okay, well, you know what? God has something else. It's okay. This is good. God has a plan. I would not feel that sense of sorrow when I lose or when something is no longer or someone is no longer part of my life. I would not become angry or frustrated when I get a bill and it's way high, and it's like, oh my God, this bill is too high. It wouldn't frustrate me. I wouldn't get frustrated. I would just say, okay, God, well, I trust you. I am loved. You want this bill paid more than me. Amen. In Jesus' name, right? And so God began showing me that every part of my life would be so different, so amazingly, powerfully, positively different if I understood his love for me, and I lived from that place of I'm loved. I am loved. So my true identity is loved. My true identity, your true identity, is not what the world says. It's not, oh, I'm a social worker, or I'm a mechanic, or I'm a doctor, or I'm a teacher. No, your true identity is loved. Because if our identity, If we subscribe to anything else but loved, then guess what? We are inevitably going to have disappointment, because every other identity changes, right? We won't have our jobs forever. Our kids grow up and go on with their lives. We're not mommy or daddy forever, right? Our husbands or wives eventually die or something. You know, these life changes. So my identity cannot be in, oh, I'm so-and-so's wife, or I'm Sylvester's mommy. No, it has to be, I'm loved, and that will never change. I find security and peace and strength and empowerment in that fact that I'm loved. So let's just say together, say, my true identity is loved. Is loved. So now the more I understand God's love for me, I become empowered to live the abundant life that Christ has saved me to live. I become empowered to live the abundant life that Christ saved me to live when I realize I am loved. And the way I'm empowered, when I say empowered, I mean that we are given the power. You are given the power, authorized or enabled. So we are enabled to live the full life that Christ died or sacrificed his life for us to live. We are able to live that out as we understand God's love. As we understand God's love for us, it gives me the power to live out my true identity. God is showing me more and more, and I'm seeing it. Gosh, my eyes are being opened more and more, even for my own life and for other believers, in that most believers' lives look like the world. You can't really see the difference. Like, our lives are not so much different. We don't see power, and you know, we're scared like everybody else. We're worried like everybody else. We're panicking like everybody else, right? It's no difference. The power of God is not being reflected in and through our lives as believers, and that should not be. It should not be. Our lives should be reflected by power and glory. That should be that is our reality, and that should be reflected in Jesus' name, right? Y'all gotta say something. Say amen. That's right. Say something. Say yes, right. Say something, right? Okay. All right. Right. Say something. And this is what I was realizing. Let's think about this. Let's think about Prince William, right? Cambridge, right? Let's think about if his kids decided, was George and Charlotte? I was talking about them earlier, and one of my friends said, "You are so." They told me I was so ethnic. They said, because I was saying Little Prince Charles, I was saying Little Prince George. They were like, "Little Prince, who's Little?" I'm like, "You know, Little Prince George." And they're like, "No, it's Prince George." I'm like, "Oh, okay." So Prince George, to get it right, Prince George, and Charlotte. If they decided, I'm gonna renounce my succession. I'm going to move to America, and Charlotte said, "I'm going to move to America, I'm going to renounce my succession, and I'm going to go work at a strip joint on Sunset Boulevard." And then George said, "I'm going to renounce my succession, and I'm going to move to Inglewood, and I'm going to sell used cars." We'd be looking at them like, what? We would say they have lost their minds. That makes no sense, right? It would just be, that's unheard of, am I right? Makes no sense. Well, that's how it is for us. We are a part, we belong to the Almighty God. We are children of the Almighty God, children of the kingdom of God. But yet, our lives reflect the Sunset Boulevard Club and the used car lot in Inglewood. It's like, that shouldn't be. That's just really stupid, right? It makes no sense. So as we understand God's love for us, we get out of that mindset and we begin to say, wait a minute, this is not who I am. This is not who I am. I belong to the Most High God, the maker of the heavens and the earth, the seas and all that's within them. And now, if we look at Psalm chapter 8, I finally got a scripture, y'all. Here it is. Psalm chapter 8. It's not up there. I don't do well with that. I'm sorry. I'm going to get it together. Next time, if Kevin ever had me preach again, I'm going to have some scriptures for y'all up there. I'm going to try. Okay, I promise, I'm going to try. Psalm chapter 8. So you got to write it down. You got to bring your Bible. It's good to have your Bible. Psalm chapter 8 says, verse 4, says, "Of what importance is the human race that you should notice them? Of what importance is mankind that you should pay attention to them?" Now, you have that question being asked several times throughout the prophetic books in the Bible and throughout the Word of God. You even have Job asking that question, and I think it was Elihu and Job, but the question was asked to Job. It says, "What is man that you should magnify him and think him important and that you are concerned about him?" So you have these people of God saying, wait a minute, of all creation, you got the birds, you got the lions, the tigers, the bears, oh my, you got all these things, you got the fish and the birds, the eagles, and you are mindful of man? What is this? What is it about man? What is it about man? What is it about you? What is it about me that God decides, you know what, I am going to allow man to be my companion? I'm going to allow man to be my co-worker. I'm going to allow man to partner with me in bringing my glory in the earth. My God, what is man? What is man that God would allow us to experience and share in his glory, in his essence? What is man? What is man? And so when we begin to think about that and like, wow, I'm not just a doctor or a lawyer or a preacher or a teacher or a social worker or a mechanic or a salesperson, or I'm not just that. That's just something I do. That's not who I am. I bear the very essence of the living God when I believe in Jesus Christ. My God, who am I? Right? And then we let's look at John 3:16. This is real common, but I wanted to show us something else about us sharing in the essence and glory of God. Now in John 3:16, we know what it says. It says God, I'm reading the Amplified Version, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes and trusts in him as Savior should not perish but have eternal life," right? Now, so we get this, we know what it says. So God loved the world. God loved the world so much. So basically what it's saying is that God was so fond of or dearly beheld the world, or he took such pleasure in man. He longed for and highly esteemed human beings that he gave his Son to give his life, right? He highly esteemed human beings. But this is the thing. When you study the word there that has to that we interpret as love, it actually is not love. It is love as affection and being fond of, but it's also a love of choice. It's a love of reason. It's God says, "I've chosen to set my love on you." It's a choice. It's not based on anything but his choice. So God has decided, "I love you. My affection is set on you. I am fond of you, and that will not change." That does not change. So God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Then it says, "Whoever believes in him will not perish." Well, now perish there, of course, means that will not be turned over to eternal misery after death. But perish biblically also has to do with being separated from God's glory and his essence. So Christ gave his life so that we can share in the glory and essence of God. So upon salvation, upon receiving Christ, I receive his glory. His very essence becomes a part of who I am. I bear the glory of God. Can you imagine that? Any believers in here realize that? You bear the glory of the living God? Hallelujah. That's something to make you say, "Woo, I'm just excited." I just saying that makes me want to run around this place and flip. But y'all think I'm crazy. And Kevin goes, "Say, Martha, you can't come back. I told you can't come back no more," because he always talk about me. And he ain't going to talk about me today. We ain't doing that. So, and then it says, so believe in Christ. Not only will you not perish, you have eternal life. Now, eternal life there, we always think of eternal life as what? Being after we die, right? But when you study out what it means in this context, in its original language, what it actually means is that the word eternal and life has to do with life now. Upon salvation, upon receiving Christ as Lord and Savior, that's when our eternal life starts, our life with God. Eternal life means that you have the God kind of life immediately. It starts now, and it should be constantly getting better and better and better and better until you get to heaven, and it keeps getting better. It's not this, "Oh, well, okay, I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm going to pray a little bit. I'm going to know God a little bit here. It's going to be our..." No. It's this. No, I get to experience the God kind of life. Here the word for life is Zoe, the God kind of life, the God kind of glory, the God kind of essence now, and it should be getting better and better and better and better now. So in reality, getting older for the believer should be getting, I should be getting better. It shouldn't be that, "Oh, I'm getting old, y'all, you know." No, that's not my reality. Oh, no, the devil is a liar. The older I get, well, I get better because I've had more time to grow in his glory. So for us, getting older is not, "You know, I'm getting old." No. It's, "You know, I'm getting better. You know, I'm growing in the glory, y'all." Hallelujah, right? That's our reality in Jesus' name. This is living from our identity. Eternal life is now. It starts now. It never ends. My life with God, my experience of his essence and glory is now. And it constantly goes on, right? In Jesus' name. So understanding God's glory, understanding God's love for me, it's a process, of course. It takes me growing in that, right? It's a process. But it begins with me learning his desires for me. In me understanding God's love, I must understand his desires for me. What are God's desires and intention for me? Many of us, we always say, "Oh, God is good. I know he loved me." Most people in here who are Christians will not say, "Oh, God hates me," right? You hardly get those kind of folks. I got some vets that will tell you, "Marzette, God hate me. He took my baby when he was 5 and I don't know what to do and I hate him." You know, yes, there are people who say that, yes. But most believers will say, Jesus loves me. God loves me. Right? Most of us say that. But we don't really, really believe it. We don't really, really understand that what that means. So when we say God loves us, we need to really look at what does that mean? That I have to look at, okay, what are God's intentions toward me? With that love, what does that mean? This means he has intentions, right? It's just like when you're dating somebody or when you're with someone and you kind of say, okay, you love me. Okay, what are your intentions then, right? You want to know what does that mean to you? You say, what does that mean to you? So let's look at what does God's love mean to him? Let's look at that. So Psalm 8:5, same chapter. So we have God saying, we have him saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, that you would think of him, that you would call him important? And then verse 5 says, you have made him a little lower than God. You have made him a little lower than God. We have translations that say a little lower than angels, but when you actually read in the margins and you read it in the Hebrew, it actually says a little lower than Elohim, which is a little lower than God. So we have him, with God saying, I've made man a little lower than me. And it says, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. So now this tells me God's intentions. God says that man is second on the hierarchical structure of creation. Wow. So you got God and you got me. You got God and you got you. Wow. What does that say about us, right? God has us second on the hierarchical structure of society, of creation. And then it says, God did not, he didn't dress us with fur, scales, a shell, like everybody else, right? Bible says God dressed Adam and Eve, what? In his glory. So we get God's glory. It says we get to be clothed in glory. My God, that's who I am. I'm clothed in the glory of God. What is glory? The glory of God is his weight, his essence, his power, his might, his wisdom, his love is his glory. These are his glory. So when I say I'm empowered by God's love, when I know this, it empowers me to just live life differently. I don't have to live in this shell. I don't have to be afraid or worried or depressed or hopeless or afraid of future. Oh, no, that is not my reality. I've been tricked. I've been bamboozled. Right? Right? We've been bamboozled, y'all. And so now, God's intention towards us. What is God's desire for us? We bear his glory. We are the loved. We are loved. Say, I am loved. That's who I am. I'm loved. Romans 8:19. I'm going to read that. I'm going to tell you something about that. Then I'm going to sit down and be quiet. Because if I talk too long, Marissa going to tell Kevin. And then he going to say, I knew it because she talks so long in my office every other week when I meet her. And so I got to be good because they talk about me. Marissa doesn't talk about me. She's always on my side. But Kevin talks about me. So I'm not going to give him the satisfaction. Okay. Romans chapter 8. Verse 19, it says, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Sons of God literally means children of God, those who have been engrafted into him by Christ. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. God's intentions for us, his children, his loved ones. All creation, this says, all creation is longing for you and I to allow God's glory to be reflected and revealed through us. All creation is waiting for you and I to allow God's love, his wisdom, his power to be revealed through me, through you, all creation. That's everybody at the store, the grocery store, everybody at the bank, everybody on your job, all your coworkers, all your neighbors, right? They're all waiting for you to allow the glory of God, the love, the wisdom, the power, the might of God to be revealed and manifested through you for them. All creation, all the dogs, the cats, all creation, right? All creation. The glory of God upon my life is supposed to be manifested in such a way that others are being set free. So first, I get set free from all the fear, doubt, lack, sickness, disease, insecurity, deceit, depression. I get free. because of his glory in me, and then I go free others. That's God's intention. That's my identity. I'm loved. So I get to be free and I get to go love and free others. I can't understand how we as Christians feel like we're supposed to be, oh, well, you know, it's going to be all right. I'm going to make it. It's just hard. And, you know God loved me. And, you know, and I just believe God is going to be all right. And we cry. You don't believe God. No, you don't. You believe the world and your circumstances. That's the truth, right? So if I really understood God's love for me, I'm able to live out my true identity. I live from an identity prescribed by the word of God, not prescribed by the world. Because see, the world's identity prescribes what? Fleeting pleasures, hopelessness, fear, frustration, lack, insecurity, worry, depression, anxiety, pride, right? But when I'm living from my true identity, I'm living a life of peace, joy, fulfillment, contentment, rest, satisfaction, abundance, nothing missing, nothing broken, completeness, provision. That's what the life of the one who is allowing the glory of God to extend and reflect through them, because they have embraced the fact that they are loved. So I want to encourage all of us today and to just begin to allow the Lord to teach you about who you are, about your loved status, that you are loved. Because the world, the whole creation is waiting for you to know who you are. The whole creation, you're waiting. Your soul is waiting. Your soul wants some freedom, some more freedom, some more peace, some more joy, some more hope, some more faith, right? So not only are your soul waiting for you to really embrace your true identity, but the whole creation is waiting for you and I to embrace our true identity as God's loved one, so his glory can be manifested in and through our lives. So on your connection card, if you're willing, if you feel like I need to really embrace and know and learn and understand God's love for me, then check the box that says, today or tonight I ask for and I receive God's grace to begin to learn about his love for me. Learn about my identity of love. And how do we do that? How do we begin to learn? We read our Bible every day. We gotta read it every day, y'all. We gotta convince our souls of this. Our souls are convinced of everything else. But we gotta convince our souls that God loves us and who we are and that we share his essence. So it comes from the word of God, reading the word, thinking about the word. It comes from praying. Can't have prayer and not the word, or the word. Now you gotta have both, the word and prayer, both. And when we pray, we gotta have some quiet time to listen. Sit there and listen. Don't just pray and say, okay, God bless me, God keep my mama, God bless my son. Okay, I'm gonna get up. No, I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna listen for a minute. I'm gonna read the Bible and I'm gonna sit and listen for a minute. It does take effort, but it's worth it. That's what we all need, it's worth it, right? And we have to also obey what we hear. What we hear God say to us by the Spirit and what we hear God say to us through the Word. All these things help us live out our true identity as God's loved ones and the glory of God being manifested in and through our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you so much that we know a little bit more right now who we are, that we are loved. So I pray, Father God, for each person under the sound of my voice, that you would not allow them to forget that they are your loved one. Help them to remember, Father God, in every moment, in every circumstance, that you love them and that you have good desires and intentions for their lives. Help them to remember and give us, Lord, give them the grace to begin to learn more about your love for them. I thank you for doing it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you.